The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, we've got Trash Bird News and a special performance by Huey Lewis and the Fake News.
No, they're not ready to debut yet.
Oh. Well, they'll debut in GFW and then a year later go to the WWE, but then GFW will post a picture.
This is the first ever official band of GFW.
Sketch comedy group.
Huey Lewis and the Fake News. Yeah, well, that's coming, guys. Don't worry. Hey, what's up? It is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Shannon Young, Mr. 100, the Irish Daddy, Newt. That's my new one. Back this week. And before we go any further, I want to say thanks to Ali, Asa, and Dalton for doing such a good job last week while I was having a mental health day. The good news is...
Never leave again.
Well, I've got good news for you. I beat the depression. It's that easy.
Stop.
It's that easy. So here we've got a great show for you tonight. We got a lot of news to go through. Let me introduce the better part of the panel, and that's the five-star man at the end of the table, Asa Gray.
Yes.
The five-star man, which I meant to say second, and I said first. So I screwed that up. Ali, not actually fake news. To my right.
Hi.
And little D.
Really? Yay.
Through the arbitration process, we decided that you're not little D.
I hate the arbitration process.
You always get screwed in
it. I do.
Yeah. All right, so let's kick off this week's Pro Wrestling Unscripted with, let's just get this out of the way. Hold on. What happened?
I sent that
Kyle O'Reilly's name.
I sent that to you like last week.
That's wrestling
related. It's the news, but that's the actual picture.
Yeah.
You didn't send me the picture. You don't have to go through it. It's fine.
Because, like, he got beat by Aleister Black, I think.
The listeners are so confused
right now. Yes,
please
explain to the listeners what you're talking
about. Oh, Bobby Fish debuted on NXT. Did it finally air?
That's not Bobby Fish. That's Kyle O'Reilly.
Whoa.
You stupid.
Oh, yeah. No, that's new.
Yes.
I was thought.
Oh, my God. Yes, Bobby Fish also made his debut at NXT a while back.
Yes, a couple weeks ago,
but just recently... There's a picture floating around now that's Kyle O'Reilly standing in the ring with his name in the Titantron.
Is he going to get the Asuka and Hideo Itami treatment where they show his name and then it goes away and then his new name appears?
I mean, it's possible, but this kind of looks like he might just be
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah,
is that his real name?
Kyle, I don't know, but I mean, they did the same thing with Devitt. Whenever they when we watched it, it was just said Finn Balor.
Yeah,
but for the crowd, if you were live there, it said Prince Devitt, and then it like bled into Finn Balor. They do that all the time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, maybe they did that.
This is just a still. So, yeah, I mean, if they do it, but it also looks like, I mean, because normally the way they've been doing that is like the original name is up there, and then it changes to the NXT name.
Yeah, right.
And then they come out and make their debut. Or they do it like while they're standing out there.
Usually they're not in the middle of the ring when they do it.
Yeah.
But like the way we'll see it is going to be like when it airs on NXT, if they actually change his name, mm-hmm. we'll just see the name. And the NXT crowd will take that name right away because they did that with Finn. And then, like, whenever they do, like, a 24 or whatever Kyle O'Reilly's name is, and then they'll show that clip of, like, Kyle O'Reilly switched into whoever.
Whatever his name is now.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what they did for Finn Balor. Because it, like, said Prince Devitt.
Right.
His music hit Prince Devitt, and then it switched over, and then he came out.
Didn't do the same thing for Hideo Itami?
No. They were saying Kenta at NXT TakeOver. And, like, Kenta came out, talked to William Regal, and said, my name is changing to Hideo Itami then they gave the reasons.
And then it popped up on the...
So then it went to Kenta to Hideo Itami.
Now, of course, we saw Kyle O'Reilly live with Cape Championship Wrestling a few months back.
Yep.
Talked to him. Nice guy.
Kyle O'Reilly's amazing.
Yeah. You can catch all the amazing stars at Cape Championship Wrestling on July 29th at the anniversary show at the AC Braze Arena. Tickets are on sale. We're going to have Billy Gunn there.
Yep, you can get tickets at Gaming Grounds.
You can get $5 tickets, bleacher seats at Gaming Grounds. We're very excited about it.
And honestly, bleacher seats at CCW, still really good seats.
Every seat at CCW is a damn good seat. There's no bad seats there. It's not standing room only. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, too. You guys have a story to tell from Glory Pro.
Well, that's not a bit. We'll get to it.
It's a story.
Well, yeah.
But that's not what I wanted to lead off with. What I wanted to lead off with while Dalton goes and unplugs old Chirpy, who tonight... It's a busy night on Broadway tonight. We got bass bumping in the background. We got the phone ringing off the hook. All we want to do is talk about wrestling news. Let's talk about wrestling news. And let's talk about the most...
Somehow you made it louder.
Somehow Dalton made the damn phone louder, and I'm trying to figure it out. We good?
Almost got it.
Okay. It's hard to do. It's hard to do to unplug that phone. This is something we weren't going to talk about very much, but now I feel like we have to talk about a little bit more with news coming out of Global Force Wrestling today. So if you're on the internet, which you clearly are, you probably heard in the past few days that there was an altercation at an airport between Paige and her husband, Alberto Del Rio.
Fiance.
Because I heard they were married. They got married in a secret ceremony, but he's still married to his ex-wife. But anyway, Albert Del Rio is a trash bird. Let's just leave it at that. We can all agree on that, I think.
Yep.
Different stories going around about what actually happened. Regardless of which story you believe, whether it was that Paige assaulted Del Rio, which is what Paige claims now, or that a fan assaulted them, which is what Paige claimed on the day of, or that Del Rio assaulted Paige, which is what most of the people that were there say happened. What did happen today is that GFW suspended Alberto Del Rio indefinitely until this matter is resolved.
Until they until they're doing an ongoing investigation.
Right.
So, but once it's cleared up, that's when they'll address the suspension. But it's like
that has to happen.
It's totally meaningless. Like this is strictly so they can save face PR wise because. The next taping isn't until their live episode, which is August 17th, which is when they're going to be unveiling the new belts and all of that. They're doing house shows in New York coming up, but I don't have the dates on those yet, but you have to assume the champion's going to be there, but.
Right. Well, unless it's Lesnar.
El Patron at a, hey, come to this event. I'll be there.
The Pride of Mexico.
It feels like this, GFW, Jeff Jarrett had his conference call today, that they talked about a handful of things, but he mentioned, you know, they're not going to edit his segments, which you really can't do.
He's the champion.
And not only is he the champion, he is the like main focus of for the some show
reason,
right now.
For some, I don't know if I probably don't speak for you guys, but I think we've discussed this before, and that I don't find Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patron, whatever you call him, I don't find him to be that entertaining. He has his moments. He really does. Ace, I think you said it best, that he's a lot like Randy Orton. When he's the focus, he makes an effort and he can be entertaining. But when he's not the focus, he's phoning it in worse than we did on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is just, I don't like him as a wrestler, per se, and now I don't like him as a human being. Dalton, you have a point to make.
I mean, don't even talk about his in-ring work. Why would you make a man who has a known history of skipping out on shows the focal point of your show?
Right.
Because like, those were indie shows, though.
Dalton's right, though. I get it. You don't want to hire a guy that has a bad rep, especially put him as champion. And, I mean, indie show or not, it's pretty shitty.
I'm not defending
him. It doesn't show loyalty at all. Like, oh, we're gonna give this man a lot of money, but he's also known to skip shows. He also kind of is known to have a bad temper. So not only are we gonna give him our highest belt, we are also gonna put him in the focal point of all of our storylines. That's dumb.
Well, bad temper, and then what's really bad is the first time we heard about Del Rio's temper, the first time I heard about it, was when he had the backstage altercation with the writer or whoever it was.
It was the social media ambassador, the guy that did a lot of the social media.
Who legitimately insulted him.
Yeah, no, like, I will give him a pass on that one.
Yeah, yeah, well, you should never answer that with violence.
Yeah.
We've said, I need to make that as a point. You should never answer, like when someone says something to you, you don't respond with violence.
Yeah.
That's not right.
But if the person's being flat out racist to your face, I mean, there's a gray area.
I'm only speaking as a guy that's not in that position.
Yeah.
Because if I was in that position, I probably would have slapped him too. That would just happen. Mm-hmm. But we've all heard horror stories about Del Rio since then, or El Patron, whatever. What I wanted to talk about before we knew he got suspended, which gave us something to legitimately talk about, because we don't like to really report on
personal
lives. We don't want to be TMZ.
But I will say this. With what Paige came out and said today versus what she said 2 days ago versus what the person said, it very much does sound, from an outsider's perspective, that she's covering for him, that she is making things up so he won't get in trouble or whatever. Now, Ali, I wanted to ask you about this, and we talked about this beforehand because I wanted to make sure it was okay for me to ask you about this. As someone who has suffered that kind of abuse, does this sound like that?
I mean, it's a common thing that does happen, and it's not even – typically it's not even to protect the other person. It's because they probably don't feel like they are being abused. She probably did if – what if he actually is abusing her and she's saying, no, I, I'm the one that got angry. It's probably because she feels like she did something wrong and deserved it. Like, that is something that actually happens in an abusive relationship.
And she's only 24. Dalton, yeah. You mentioned that, how young she is.
Yeah, and like, and I'm not saying like the her being young and naive, but it's the whole thing of like, no, this everything that looks like it is screaming this, like she's covering for him. I mean, she even said in the tweet that she put out today, because that also happened like three, four hours ago.
Yeah, right before
one, where she was just like, oh yeah, no, well, I shouldn't have thrown the drink in his face. We argued over something small. Like, oh, I'm creating every excuse in the book. Yep. To cover for this. But then you also, like, 2 days ago or a day ago, had Paige's brother come out.
Two brothers now. The second brother came out and said that what he said to her that upset her was how he wished her uncle, who was dying, would die. Mm-hmm. And that upset her, and that's why she did it. I mean, it's a trashy situation. And that's Ghost upstairs. That's the, mm-hmm. the ghost of GFW, hopefully. It's a trashy situation. But I think the important thing here is that if she is, and Ace, I talked to you about this, if she is in this kind of relationship, if there is danger to her, we don't need another like Amy Winehouse situation where everybody goes, clearly something's wrong here. Someone needs to help her, but then no one helps her and everyone just exploits her until something bad happens. And then we have to lead off the show with, well, Paige is dead.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants that. I'm not even joking. Like, that wasn't a shot or anything. Like, I don't want to ever have to say anything like that about anybody.
Yeah. And I mean, the helping thing. And I mean, I think one of us said it, of like, well, I mean, somebody can try to help her, but if she doesn't want to,
she has to help herself.
Cause I mean, WWE, even whenever they did the brand split, cause they were both still active competitors. I think Paige was on suspension, but like, they were both still active stars at WWE. Whenever the brand split happened, Paige went to SmackDown, Alberto went to Raw. Or vice versa.
And they said they were trying to split them up on purpose. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, because even I think Hunter in the group chat said, also known as, we don't approve.
Right.
And then not too long after that, Del Rio got out of his contract, but Paige is still employed with them, maybe. I don't know.
She still is.
Yeah,
she's
employed.
She's really skirting the danger zone, though, because she was at is it still called Impact?
Yeah. So now it's the show is Global Force Wrestling Impact. But she was at Slammiversary.
And she was at Impact backstage taking pictures and video of Del Rio. I mean, and who was it that you guys said got fired for the exact same thing?
The Highlanders.
It was one of the Highlanders. The difference was, yeah, it was one of the Highlanders. He was in the crowd, like, in the back, like, he wasn't in, like, front row, and TNA went out of their way to focus on him, put his nameplate up with his WWE name.
Yep.
And be all the stars are coming out to see Impact, like, pretty much everyone backstage was pissed at TNA because that may not have directly cost him his job, but they were removed from TV pretty quickly.
Yeah, they never won a match afterwards.
Low class on TNA's part.
What Paige did is she was in the front row, but she was wearing a lucha mask.
Yeah.
So you couldn't, like, I mean, you could tell it was her once it was pointed out, but, like,
because the guy got a picture of her, like, hugging or whatever, and it said her name on it, mm-hmm. like, Soraya, I think it is, or yeah. Brittany or something, I don't mm-hmm. know. But yeah, it's a bad situation, and we'll keep an eye on it, but I really hope, this is one of those times that if it was just a simple case of she threw a drink in his face and overreacted, I could see that happening, because she does have a temper, but I don't know. I just want everyone to be okay.
Right.
Is the important thing. And also, The fan that followed and recorded this, the one that admitted she was taking pictures of Paige, because Paige said this woman was taking pictures and assaulted them. Well, it is true. She was taking pictures of them discreetly. I want to point out, and I told Ace about this earlier and Dalton as well, how ridiculous it is that as she's following them, trying to convince Alberto Del Rio to not follow Paige, she takes the moment to say, I'm a big fan, by the way.
Yeah, that's just...
That's weird. That's
just, to me, that's just got to be some kind of, like you're just... That's a nervous,
like... tick type.
Not even a nervous tick. Just, like, that's just a gut reaction to being confronted by someone like that, and you're trying to defuse. Like, you don't want any of what's happening here to be directed at you.
Right,
so that's just your go-to. Like, oh, yeah, but I'm a big fan.
I hope so, because if she really... Like, if she, like, asked for an autograph in the middle of it or something...
Right.
Like,
can you sign this?
Yeah, like...
Which, hey, I mean, that wouldn't even surprise me.
No.
Not with wrestling fans.
CM Punk talking about having to tell someone to F off because he asked for an autograph at a funeral.
Right.
Like...
Yeah.
No.
People have no chill sometimes. So that's that story. We'll see what happens. We have other news to talk about. We have other Anthem news, actually. Well, let's say TNA news. I know we're skipping ahead here, but I want to talk about this because this was truly surreal. And that was seeing Dixie Carter in the Kurt Angle 24 homecoming. Ace is puffing up like Lane Austin when someone mentions his chest.
What? Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Puff the chest up too much. Finish your story.
About this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to now because you've got me nervous.
No. It's not this actual thing. It's the potential follow up that I'm predicting.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Oh yeah. So anyway, Dixie Carter, former TNA head, and she has no role in the company at this point, right?
She's completely out of Global Force, whatever
it's called. Not only did she appear on the WWE production of Kurt Angle Homecoming, mm-hmm. which by the way I've heard is fantastic. I haven't watched it yet myself. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's gut wrenchingly good. Like yeah. they don't gloss over anything.
One of the big like headlines coming out of it was like Kurt Angle saying like, yeah, I used to be someone people looked up to and now I'm just a recovering addict.
Yeah.
It's like
very honest, and that's great. Because that stuff needs to be like it's not anything to be ashamed of. You know, it's something that can inspire people. But Dixie Carter was on it. Not only was she on it, but they actually credited her as TNA president, mm-hmm. which is just unheard of. That I mean, they have. I don't think they've ever actually mentioned TNA by name before, have they? Loki did.
Talking smack.
But also on the WWE website when they used to be like they were trying to shut down the dirt sheets, basically. Mm-hmm. So they had like an indie wrestling news. TNA stuff would show up there
all the time.
I mean, and wrestlers and have done little bits like Edge and Christian did a bit on their show.
Will they ever mention TNA on the show?
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like it's persona non grata type deal, but like you're not going to hear Michael Cole say the words Global Force Wrestling Impact.
Who's this guy? He used to work for TNA.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at Sting. That was the that's the biggest.
He didn't wrestle for like 15 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But seeing Dixie Carter on there and speaking, and I heard she got a lot of positive feedback that people were happy she was on. Because from what I understand, Dixie Carter was liked for the most part as a person, at least. Maybe not as a boss, obviously, mm-hmm. for the way that it happened. But a very surreal moment to see Dixie Carter on there. That's like the first time you saw Eric Bischoff on WWE TV.
Right.
And you're like, whoa.
Wait, who? Like,
so. Let's talk about your thing.
So, no, because...
Because this is a perfect segue, talking about Bischoff showing up on Raw.
And we're not talking... And, like, we're not going to do, like, a big Raw or SmackDown recap because nothing super important happened.
Right.
Except for Kurt Angle on his cell phone. This could ruin my family. This could ruin, my career. We need to get ahead of this. Come to Raw next week, and we'll give our side of the story. I love you. Click. And he hangs up. So next week, we're getting the big reveal of who Kurt Angle has been on the phone with, who Corey Graves is doing all these shady tweets and having to leave the announce table to go talk to Kurt. And my gut is telling me that it's going to be Dixie. And I'm going to get sick to my stomach. Like, that's a legit thing where, again, I'm just like, I cannot abide this.
Right.
Like, that's so wrong.
Yeah. Like, on so many levels.
The going theory, like the most popular theory, is it's Stephanie.
That's what I assumed.
Not better, like
no,
not by a lot.
But I heard it does play off of a 2000 like yeah storyline.
And if it does, I'm gonna be so happy because that's some long con right there.
Yeah, that's the long haul.
But like if it is Dixie, like everybody, like well, I mean, because like you say, the popular opinion is it's Stephanie.
Yeah,
I've been seeing more Dixie. Like
as, no, and like as
but
like I've been worried. Like in the back of my mind, I've been like, "Oh, that could be Dixie," but they wouldn't do that. But then with the way he ended the phone call on Monday, I really think it is.
But if she's on there, let's remember Eric Bischoff's entire career with WWE being just the biggest joke. Like he didn't really get a lot of aside from 3 minute warning. Everything else he did, he just was made to look like an idiot.
But I wouldn't go that far.
I'm not worried.
I think Eric Bischoff had a pretty good career in WWE. I do, and he himself will tell you a lot of that was his idea.
Of course he would,
because he knows his place. He was an on air talent, and that's it. And they do whatever they want with him. But Eric Bischoff, I feel like, had a better reputation going in to WWE than Dixie Carter would. With if I'm playing armchair booker or whatever, and I'm WWE, I see the potential in Eric Bischoff. He was a great on-screen character. He was synonymous with WCW. Yes, Dixie Carter was synonymous with TNA, but all of the negative feedback that she got, all of the negative press that she got of how the company went to the toilet, all that, I feel like WWE does not see as much of an upside with Dixie Carter as they did see with Eric Bischoff. And when I think of it that way, it seems almost impossible that they would take the chance to bring Dixie Carter on, because that would be admitting, yes, we had competition in TNA. We're bringing one of their people in. And why else would you bring her in other than the fact that she was in TNA? You know, they have to reference.
No, yeah, she's there. She has no other wrestling lineage.
No.
The WWE would reference WCW weekly.
Right. Bischoff started even before WCW.
And Eric Bischoff was good in his role in WCW and in WWE on screen wise. Right. Not saying anything about booking or anything like that.
That's a whole other story. The company,
yeah. But as that smarmy just D-bag, he killed it. He was always great. Dixie was forced into an on-screen role and was awful.
She never took to it.
And then they tried to make her heel, and it was worse.
Yeah.
She's terrible. There's no redeeming qualities to have her be an on-screen character.
I agree. So then it makes you wonder, why would WWE do it?
Unless it's just so they can like further embarrass a company that shouldn't even be on their radar.
Well, shit, when you mention it that way, yeah, it's probably Dixie Carter. WWE is more interested in burying people and rubbing their nose and stuff than they are about making money. WCW, ECW Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that's what I was saying of just being, yeah, no, they'll have her on there to embarrass her. They're like, here's this check. We're gonna crap on you a little bit, which is what they did to Bischoff.
And then why would she agree with it, though? Well, again, Bischoff, he had a GM role.
Because she's broke now.
Family was rich to begin with, weren't they? And that's part of the reason they afforded so much stuff.
And then they sunk all of that money into TNA. And
yeah. Thanks, Panda Energy. But yeah, no, like, I mean, Bischoff had his moments, but he was also made to look a joke a lot.
And he was. He was, you know, yeah, especially when he was up against Austin.
Yeah, like, Austin.
He was just Austin's whipping boy.
He also made out with Stephanie McMahon.
Well, so did Angle.
He made out with Linda McMahon.
Maybe Angle.
I'm just saying, like, there were a lot of times.
No, he had upticks, but yeah, for like the most part, it trends downward.
Do you remember how
But you're making it sound like they just flat out brought him in to embarrass him. He had way too long of a career to just be a one-off embarrassment.
Well, yeah, no, they just embarrassed him for like 6 years for doing what he did.
I have to disagree, but go ahead.
Remember how he got removed from TV. Vince McMahon threw him in a garbage truck.
Which he said was his idea, by the way.
Of course he said it was his idea. Oh my, Vince Russo had every great idea in wrestling.
If we're going to talk about that moment, just real quick, that is one of the biggest, you know how you talk about Battlezone broke you? Mm-hmm. Battleground broke you for wrestling? That moment broke me a little, because in that same segment, John Cena's argument about why they should fire Eric Bischoff was because Bischoff stood against everything Vince McMahon stood for. Freedom of speech, the fans bring in what they want to the arena. This is the same time period where they were taking away signs from fans because it didn't say what they wanted it to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad at the hypocrisy of that moment. But anyway, that's a story for another time. So who better than Kenya? No, who better than Dixie to be in that role on Monday?
Literally anybody.
Who could it be?
Like, Steph. It's either Steph or Dixie. Oh, it better not be Karen Angle. But it cannot be Karen Angle.
Kev Jarrett.
No, it's Karen. Yeah, it's Karen Jarrett now.
I said so. Kev. Did I just say Kev Jarrett?
Yeah.
Shit.
Kevin Jeff.
Kev Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett.
Who else could it be? Like, legitimately, other than Steph. Just reach into your box of tricks. Who else could it be?
Medusa? I don't know. Steph. It's Steph. It has to be Steph.
I think it's a stupid angle, so I don't care. Like, who it should be is Hornswoggle. And he's Kurt Angle's long-lost son that he had with Vince. And it's the Olympic gold that made him a leprechaun, because he's obsessed with gold. The end. You're done.
He put more logic into that than they've ever put into a logic.
You know a better storyline for Kurt Angle right now?
If he goes into a limousine and it blows up?
No, the 2K18 commercials.
Oh, those are dumb.
Have you seen the new one?
Yes, with Angle? Dumb. It's dumb.
I mean, the story is dumb, but at least it's a story.
I mean,
after Seth blew everything up, the newest commercial is a guy with a hoodie sitting in a truck outside of the thing being burned. And then he walks in, he looks at all the destroyed stuff, and then he picks up a pair of boots that I guess were Kurt Angle's boots. And it shows that it's Angle at the hoodie, and he just kind of looks at the screen. He kind of looks up angry. And, like, that's a better storyline than what they're doing with him.
That sounds like the one where you have to go through and fight the construction workers.
WrestleMania 19, which was a great game.
I don't care.
WrestleMania 19 was an amazing wrestling game.
Moving on. We don't have enough time to talk about terrible games that Dalton likes. Speaking of terrible wrestling games, 2K18. It was announced yesterday or the day before that it's going to be on Switch.
Yeah.
I will hold off judgment. Now
I'm happy that the Switch is getting a game like this.
Yes, they need more third party games.
Because they need third party games. Agreed. And I'm fine with that. I'm not angry that it's coming to the Switch. I just don't see this going. There are two ways that I see this going. One is that, okay, we've cut the dead weight of 360 and PS3. So now we can make a whole new graphics engine and really take advantage of the PS4, Xbox One. There's the One X. There's the PS4 Pro. You can really make a great looking game. Oh, but we're also doing it for the Switch. Which, yeah, it's better than the 360 and the PS3 by far, but it pales in comparison to
not only that, PS4. Not only that, but just the fact that it's a different medium. Like, it's the same. It's a video game, but it's a different.
It's a cart.
It's a cart. It's, yeah. So they're gonna have to. They're gonna have to change stuff around. I remember when Resident Evil 2 came out for the Nintendo 64. Even with the expansion pack, they had to take so much out and alter things to fit a cart as opposed to the CD, which is what it was on PlayStation. But Hunter, like Hunter said, it's a different developer, or a different. Something's different. So if they have another team working on it and it's not affecting the other 2K18, fine. Then Switch has a good thing.
That's the best case scenario. But even in their press release, because what I was getting at is, so either you're going to get the Switch has all of the features of the PS4 and the Xbox One version, but the PS4 and Xbox One version are not going to look as good as they could, or the PS4 is just going to be relegated as that last gen, even though it's farther along than, it's where it's going to be missing features, and it's still not going to even look as good even on the same engine.
Right.
Because even in their press release, like many of the new features broadcast on our new, the new release they did, will be coming to the Switch.
Many?
Why would you say many?
Right.
Say all.
Right.
Like, unless the way they were wording it is like, oh, there are new features and they're coming to the Switch. Like, there's a bunch of old features too, though. So, yay.
It reminds me of when when Wii still had the license to, like, the FIFA games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would put a new FIFA out every year along with the 360 and PS3 version. But the Wii version was so watered down that it was almost a completely different game and it was bad.
And if this is a whole other, like, team doing a whole other thing, like just working with 2K, then that's good. Like, I'm,
because that's happened before.
I'm way okay with that. That's honestly best case scenario, because you're not draining resources from the main, like the PS4 and the Xbox One release.
Right. Because the Switch version of 2K18 could be really good.
Yeah.
If the graphics are good and the gameplay's fun and you have the ability to take it with you and switch up controllers and stuff like that, I could see that being really fun.
No, yeah, that would.
I'm afraid the community's going to be terrible though. Like, for creating, Dalton, I know you're a big part of this too. You love the creative community. I don't see the Switch version being nearly as good as the Xbox One.
Well,
PS4.
Like, and so whenever they announced it, my initial thought, and they haven't said anything yet, I very well could be wrong, but I feel like I'm not, just because I know how sports games work, is that this is just going to be the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 version.
Right.
Because, like, I mean, even if you look at PS2 to PS3, that generation, so Xbox to Xbox 360, is like, yeah, no, they kept making Madden until, like, Madden 12.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Madden 07 for 5 years with an updated roster and, like, one different feature, kind of like whenever they went from 360 to Xbox One, where everything from 15 on had a different mode that you wouldn't get on Xbox One, but that mode was stupid.
Yeah, and they didn't have the new physics engine.
And they didn't have the new, like, in, like, the, it was the graphics from 2K14. And I know in, like, the group chat we had a little bit of an uproar, but, like, if video game, like, sports video games, and I count this as a sports video game because it's a yearly release, that this is not any more pure than Madden, not any more pure than NBA 2K. Like, that's what I feel like it's going to be, because you're making almost two completely different games, and that's why the wrestling games aren't as good as they could be, because you're just making two different games at the same time.
If you have to split your workers.
And I don't see the financial benefit of hiring a different development team to make the Switch version.
Especially, well, that's what I'm afraid of. If the Switch version is a budget, like if they don't want to spend a lot of money on it.
It'll be $60.
Well, no, I mean, like, if the production values are budget level, because the Switch, as popular as it is, it's still not on the same level as Xbox One and PS4. It's just not, like, in terms of who has it.
Yeah.
And a lot of those games for the Switch end up being kind of hard to get because they don't make so many of them. So it's either going to be a watered-down port, or it could be a version that they're making separately that's also watered down because they didn't want to put as big of a budget into it because it won't sell as well. The chances that it's going to be as good as the Xbox One PS4 version are very slim, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what scares me.
And we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll see what happens. I want it to be good because I think it could be really good.
Yeah, no.
Like, if it's, someone keeps saying, just make No Mercy. Make the No Mercy engine with a new game.
Well, AKI doesn't exist anymore, so.
Gotta play those Def Jams. That was the last good one. Yeah. Def Jam.
I mean, is Aki still around or however?
I don't think so. I haven't seen a game from them in a while.
I think Def Jam was the last one.
Yeah. They did make a new Def Jam Icon, which was terrible.
But did Aki do that?
I don't think so.
I think that was with the 360. Speaking of wrestling games, is it on our list this week?
Fire Pro Wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I had Asa add it to it here tonight. Just real quick, Fire Pro Wrestling World did go live on Steam. It's only on PC right now. It's going to have a full release later because it's still technically in the beta. This is one of those early access games, and you can tell because even though the game is pretty much done, there are some real bad spelling errors, some real bad translation errors, and some bugs and glitches that are just bad. Like apparently if Dalton, when you were making your character, you had the option to delete the character. So if a random person, this is true, if a random person is playing that and they don't like the character that they made, you can just back out and nothing happens. But if you think you have to delete that and you hit delete, it actually deletes another wrestler in the game instead.
I was going to say the spelling mistakes is they're actually putting the wrestler's name on the game. like that's the mistake.
I'm confused. So you've made this character.
Yeah.
And he's in front of you. You're like, this isn't good. I'm going to delete him.
I just hit the delete.
You hit the delete button. It just deletes one of the random.
It deletes another wrestler. I don't know if it's random or if it goes in. Maybe it might just be other creator wrestlers.
Okay.
But it will delete another wrestler instead, which is just a weird bug.
Yeah.
Weird bug. But it is out right now. It's only $20. I recommend it. I bought it, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. Allie watched me play the other day. She was very confused. I was very confused. I made Lane Austin. I made a because you can make your own refs in the game. You can make
You can do that.
Refs,
like
belts, everything. So I made Lane Austin. I gave him the biggest, buffest arms possible. No sleeves. Obviously, no sleeves. Right. All right.
Is he just carrying around weights everywhere he goes, but not working out his chest?
Jesus Christ.
Oh no, I'm allowed to be mean to him now.
It's like the only bad thing about it is it's not so in depth that I can put some random bullshit inspirational message on the back of his shirt.
I mean, you could put lines on it.
Yeah. That's what I see as inspirational messages. Yeah. So. Moving on. This is big. I'm surprised we didn't lead with this. And if it wasn't for Paige, we would have led with this.
Yeah.
Austin Aries. Gone.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah, no.
It's been out of nowhere.
It's been a weird week in wrestling. I'm glad you're back for this one.
Thank you.
Because,
it's good to be back. Don't ask me what I did last week when I was off.
Because the Austin Aries was granted his release. Apparently he... There's so much to this story.
Because I heard he didn't ask for a release.
He didn't ask for Wrestling Online Reporter, whatever the Meltzer thing is. It's WOR, and I can't for the life of me remember.
The Observer Wrestling Report?
Yeah.
Yeah, just say Meltzer. It's Meltzer.
So Meltzer, pretty much it was basically Austin Aries was very frustrated being a cruiserweight. He didn't want to be a cruiserweight. You know, he's in NXT facing No Way Jose and Baron Corbin, so he knows that, you know, he's... could be valuable elsewhere on the roster.
Right.
Loses his feud with Neville. And he made his opinions of being a cruiserweight, and his word apparently is pigeonholed, very clear, which did not make him popular to writers or producers backstage. So he has written a book, and when he asked for time off to be able to go and do a book tour or promote his book, they just said, why don't you just go? So he was granted his release.
Tell me someone walked up to him and said, what would you do if you had all the free time in the world?
Unlimited free time.
Unlimited free time.
So he has a 90-day no-compete clause. I think someone said it puts it in October. Then he can go wherever he wants. But he's able to work certain indie dates.
Right.
As long as it's not on TV, I think
it's
the rule.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. But also, one of the things I read said approved indie dates, which may just mean that he can verify that it's not going to be on TV.
Right. And that's kind of big because Austin Aries, I don't think he ever really – I was so excited when he came to NXT and he immediately – what his first match was with –
Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin, which he won.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple good feuds and I thought he was really good. I've always heard he's one of the bigger douchebags though in wrestling. And even before he came to NXT, I remember just – it was on a post somewhere, so it's probably BS.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember someone saying that he is admittedly just one of the biggest jackasses. It's just kind of smarmy and smug in real life. I don't know, of course, if that's true or not, but
his
character.
Well, when you're on the A double level, you get to be.
He's the greatest man that ever lived.
It's true.
Is what I've heard. Mm-hmm. But he's gone now.
It's a great package. I can watch it for hours.
Who knows where that's going?
No, because he really gave 205 Live a shot in the arm.
He did. He was one of the best characters.
Between his commentary and then when he became an active wrestler, he was always one of the best parts of that show. So,
but he wanted to be more. He didn't want to be a cruiserweight.
He wanted to be on Raw or SmackDown, which he should have been. You're Austin Aries. You get to
But at the same time,
him
I feel
versus
like,
Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yep.
Yeah. But him, I feel like him being on 205 Live was really good. Like they needed more.
But it was good for 205 Live. I think it was better for 205 Live than it was for him. Like if they would have let him do his thing on 205 Live, be like, oh yeah, so 205 Live is actually really cool with these other people that are there. You know, I'm watching it for Austin Aries, but then you see Jack Gallagher, Brian Kendrick, Neville. Like,
but do you think that's an insult to the people that do 205 Live? And I'm not, don't, please let me get this out correctly before anybody jumps on me. But what I mean by saying, yeah, but you know, Austin Aries shouldn't, he should be on Raw and SmackDown. Like the other people that are on 205 Live, do you feel like it's an insult to them to for someone to go, I'm better than this. I'm out of here.
If 205 Live was presented as not a, like,
sideshow,
like kid gloves, like, yeah, then it would be, but I don't think anyone on 205 Live would make the argument that, no, we are treated with as much respect as Raw or SmackDown. Because if they were, they wouldn't be wrestling in front of half-full crowds because people left after SmackDown. Because, and don't get me wrong, they deserve so much better than that.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been saying that since the inception of this thing.
Well, we said a Cruiserweight show would be good if they did it right.
Yeah.
They just didn't do it right.
No, yeah. I was thinking about that last night, like, because we have that Mae Young Classic coming like down the pipe, and I'm just like,
got some news about that here in a second.
Yeah, and it's just thinking back a year ago, how great, like how excited we were every week to talk about the CWC.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I even think whenever they said they were going to do a 205 Live, oh yeah, because it got sent to my cell phone, like the email notice.
I remember that, yeah.
And I was like, that's a dumb name. And then like as they said they were doing the show, we got less and less excited. But they're going to be on Raw, and then they showed them on Raw, and then we got really not excited. And it's one of those, like, and with the Austin Aries things, getting back to that, is that broken eye, like, that broken orbital bone was at the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he was, like, the cruiserweight division was not in his sight at that point. He was very much, like, it was him and Nakamura on a house show. So, obviously, they were building up to a Nakamura-Aries feud. And broke his eye socket, and now, then, like, it was just like, oh, well, you're coming back at this time. We're going to have you as commentary because you're really entertaining. For 205 Live, second you're okay, you're wrestling for 205 Live. Like, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, I'm pretty sure he would have been NXT champion, or he would have been put up to the main roster proper instead of 205 Live.
Well, two questions. One, do you think his attitude and the fact that he very clearly did not want to be there affected his feud with Neville, and that's why he didn't win the title? Because it seemed like they were, if anyone was going to beat Neville, it was going to be Austin Aries.
No, I think Neville affected him not winning the belt at Neville, or winning the Cruiserweight belt, sorry. Like,
please explain.
Neville, have you seen him do anything bad since having that belt?
No, but he is. But that doesn't necessarily mean they won't take the belt off of him.
I mean, they'll have to take the belt off him eventually.
They took the belt off of CM Punk to put it on The Rock just because, and CM Punk was doing good business.
Well, good.
But that was Vince.
And whenever they finally.
Well, Vince is on. Are you saying Vince doesn't have control of 205 Live?
I don't think he has as much input.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have, yeah, he doesn't have the emotional investment in it.
Wouldn't that be a boon to 205 Live, though? Like, because we always say that the more Vince stays away from a product, the better it is.
I mean, 205 Live has been good.
Yeah, no, 205 Live is consistently good.
Is they're just not treating it as it should be treated.
And that was my other question is, what about Neville? Like, if you're Neville, and you're the king of the cruiserweights, and you're on the top of 205 Live, and Austin Aries, who is arguably the second best character on the entire show, I would say that's true, wouldn't you?
I mean, first or second, depending on where you put Neville.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I feel like Neville's above him only because of the way they've treated him versus Austin Aries.
Yeah.
But you can make that argument. How does Neville feel right now? Do you think does he care? Am I reading too much into this?
He feels free because he doesn't have to work for WWE anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Neville doesn't, not Neville. That was dumb. Aries doesn't care.
No, I mean, Neville though. Where does he feel insulted?
No.
Or does he just like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
Or does he have that mindset also of, I deserve better than this? And will he make some kind of
Neville, thing? Neville is one of those people that makes whatever he does great. And that's how he's always been, like, watches NXT stuff. Like, even whenever they made him kind of go heel, he was still doing, like, he is a WWE guy now. He will do whatever they tell him to because he's good at it.
So, do you fault Austin Aries for the way he handled it?
Yes. I mean, I love Austin Aries, but, like, whenever you, like, I fault him for the way he reacted, but he's not wrong for reacting that way. Like, I mean, you're getting paid a bunch of money to do what you want to do. If you feel like you're not being utilized the way you are, you're allowed to leave, but that doesn't really look good on you. I don't see them ever taking Austin Aries back. I mean, that's very much on him.
What about you, Asa?
I don't know. Like, I get his frustrations with it, But and we have, it's worth pointing out again, he didn't go and immediately ask for his release.
They released him.
He wanted time off, and they just released him. So I don't know, like, if he had an, which we have no way of verifying if he did have an attitude or not backstage. That's all, you know, conjecture.
Yeah.
But I don't really fault him for asking to take time off, because it's hard to see, like, the problem with NXT is these, or NXT, I'm sorry, 205 Live, is these feuds go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that very much was the end of the Aries Neville feud. And I definitely think time off would have been great for him. Let him refresh his, like, let him
recharge those batteries.
Recharge his batteries and let the crowd miss him.
Right.
And then you can come, then you can have him come back into, like, a big thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be with Neville. Doesn't necessarily have to be on 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been a perfect time. Like, hey, I'm going to take some time off. He's gone for 2 months. And then he shows up on SmackDown to interrupt The Miz.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, I don't really fault him for it. He wanted to do a thing. They weren't letting him do a thing.
So he just,
maybe he didn't air those grievances properly, but who
knows?
Well,
we don't know. We don't know for a fact, you know.
Although I'm really happy I got the only Neville, or not Neville. Why do I keep doing that? The only Austin Aries Elite they've made, they're going to make. Super excited about that.
Try saying a little bit and saying Megan over and over again. That's frustrating.
Well, I don't know Austin Aries' real name unless it is Austin Aries.
I think so. It is Austin Aries.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, we got other news. Let's talk about the Mae Young Classic real quick, because I was very excited. I found out today that, Asa, you have this list of Kaylee Ray and Aisha Carter
mm-hmm.
are going to it. Not only are they going to it, but Mercedes Martinez and Marty Bell are also going to be at the Mae Young Classic. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to Jason. I've been like, hey, bring Marty Bell in. I know nothing about Marty Bell other than what I saw on TNA when she was at the Dollhouse,
mm-hmm.
but I really liked her in that, and I think she's really, really cool. So I'm super happy that she's going to be in the Mae Young Classic.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the big kind of fro. She's awesome. She's awesome. But a lot of good names coming into this this contest, this tournament. I'm very excited about
it. And the full list of competitors will be they're doing like a Facebook Live thing, I think, tomorrow on Thursday. So we'll get the full list of names.
Do we know how many are left?
There's 32 total, and however many they've named already. I have no idea.
I feel like we're at like 18. I think we're at half or like 20.
Maybe that sounds high to me, but I haven't been. I just know we've been kind of naming them off as they,
because they name like two or three at a time, and we've done this about 5 or 6 times now. It's the only reason I'm saying between 18 and 20.
Very exciting though. Also, Medusa, you had this written on there too. Medusa is going to be on the commentary team for the Mae Young Classic
with Lita and JR.
How do we feel about that?
I don't know. Like I'm not familiar with her as a commentator at all.
She's super passionate about wrestling still.
And let's see how she does.
And she's genuinely liked. Like, she's WWE put her in the Hall of Fame for a reason.
Oh, yeah, well respected. I really liked her. I knew her more for Alundra Blaze in WWE, because I didn't have WCW at the time. And then Medusa, when she went back to WCW, I always thought she was really cool. Also, this isn't written down here, but did you guys hear about JR getting, just kind of trashed for his commentary for New Japan Pro Wrestling?
It was less JR and more the other guy.
Yeah, I don't even remember his name.
Like, JR messed up a couple times, like, especially with names.
Yeah.
But then the other dude who's not a wrestling commentator,
he's a UFC fighter. He's an MMA fighter.
Was he a fighter?
He was a fighter.
Okay.
He's not
anymore. Is it G1? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It the G1?
Yeah, it was
tournament?
The G1, because a bunch of, like,
I'll get his name really
one
quick.
Of the Gorillas of Destiny were talking about how, you know, he considered it disrespectful that he's like, Kevin Kelly at least knows our names and our storylines and our effing names.
Yeah.
So,
which JR went on and apologized for his mistakes.
Well, and there was a picture posted that people were trying to give him flack for, because he had like a cheat sheet of, it was a piece of paper with a bunch of the wrestlers and then their names underneath it. But that's a very standard TV production thing to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like,
it's just, you do that so in case you forget, you have the reference.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with having a reference. That's the reason a lot of people, when they do live performances, they do have a track they sing over just as a precautionary
net.
So people get flack for that because they're like, oh, you're lip syncing. No, I mean, they do those things for a reason, because, I mean, it's better to have a safety net. It just is. You don't want to mess anything up. And Dalton, have you found that name yet?
Nope. I'm still trying to find it.
Yes, but we'll move on.
Yeah, no problem. But speaking of Kevin Kelly, he has officially left ROH, and he's going to be working with New Japan full-time now. And pursuing other opportunities as well.
Right.
But, so, I mean, that's cool. It seems like New Japan is taking their American English-speaking audience very seriously if they're going to have a dedicated announcer. At least one American commentator.
Right. It's no, it's two because it's Kevin Kelly and I can't.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have the full time, but he's leaving ROH to do New Japan full time. No,
they're going to have one American and just one random like Japanese guy. They can't understand each other.
Oh, who is it?
I can't listen movie. To that.
It's the best. It's the best.
That's
commentary.
A sitcom.
Yeah. Kevin Kelly is like one of the most obscure WWE announcer names that I could remember. Like he's up there with like Todd Pettengill and
Just Joe.
Mumbly Joe. What was his name?
Mumbly Joe?
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah. Oh, also New Japan, it's going to be Kevin Kelly and Don Callis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God, Todd Pettengill.
Don Callis also.
That's a name you never thought you'd hear again.
Cyrus. That's who.
Yeah.
Yeah, Don Callis is.
And the network in ECW.
Yep, yep.
Yep. All right, so moving on.
That was you.
Huh. That wasn't me. It wasn't me. Anyway, Chuck T and PWG. I know nothing about this, but I'm gonna let you explain it to me.
Chuck Taylor won the PWG Heavyweight Championship, which is huge because I think this is his first like world title, like not world title, but like heavyweight main championship in 12 years probably.
It's been a minute.
Like he's the one of the internet's like most beloved wrestlers. And wrestlers' most beloved wrestlers. Like, he's not quite like Christopher Daniels just because he hasn't been doing it for as long.
Right.
But just the amount of goodwill he has built up just in the industry as a whole.
It's one of those things that when he wins a title, everyone kind of takes notice and goes, good.
And so, like, when I read that he had won it, I was so happy.
I don't think I've seen him wrestle.
I know I've shown you at least one compilation of him screaming at children
to
make them cry.
Now it's making sense. Yeah.
It's, yeah. Okay.
Allie, how do you feel about screaming at children to make them cry?
I mean...
Are you against it or for it?
Against it or for it?
I mean, I don't think it's nice to make children cry.
So she's not against it.
So she's not against it. She's not for it. She's somewhere in the middle.
She's the it. Wait, that it doesn't work now.
Leo Rush is going to NXT.
Yep.
Dalton just perked right up.
I didn't read the show notes.
Oh, good!
Thanks. For taking this seriously.
Asa works on those show notes. Thank you.
I usually read them. I didn't read them this time. I apologize.
Dalton, tell us about Leo Rush.
He's an amazing indie wrestler. He's very flippy. Younger guy. I don't know how old he is. Like,
he just got some traction on the internet because he posted an Instagram picture of when Topanga buys your last t-shirt.
I saw that picture.
Yeah. I posted that picture.
That's probably why I saw that. Yeah. So Leo Rush is coming to NXT. That's good news. NXT is once again, I think they're at a good point right now, and they're constantly adding in new talent, and that's really, really good.
Well, they're in that rebuilding period.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But it's a good rebuild. Like, the talent they have in there is really solid. They've got some good names.
And like Leo Rush, he is one of those, like, he won't be a Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Nakamura situation, or like Rude, where like it's the biggest name they can find because they need a champion.
Right.
But he's definitely one of those people like a Cedric Alexander or...
I mean, they still have Bobby Roode in there, so...
Well, but yeah, no, but what I'm saying is like he is somebody that they can actually... They're going to do something with. I'm willing to say he will not be Leo Rush. Like he is going to be in a WWE project.
And his name is not... His name isn't the one where you think, oh, that's going to be an NXT championship feud. Like my initial reaction is like, oh, he'll be cool in NXT for 6 months and then he'll debut on 205 Live.
Yeah. The same thing with like Sami Callihan, whenever it was like, that's what it screams, but I'm happy that he's in NXT because at least he's going to get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. And, I don't know if you guys saw the spoilers. I won't say spoilers for NXT, but the next feud for Bobby Roode, because they've already moved past, Roderick Strong.
Yeah. That was just kind of a placeholder.
Yeah.
Feud.
That was a one-off type thing. And now it's, you could probably guess Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, he said McIntyre.
Yes!
We did it.
We didn't say Galloway for once. All right. Hot Topic is getting... Oh, God. Hot Topic is getting some new Japan Pro Wrestling merchandise in August. Asa, I know you're excited about this. Because you love
Los Ingobernables.
De
Japón.
Thank you.
And in like a week, they should be getting all the Bullet Club shirts.
Plus Hangman Page.
Yep.
So that's really cool that Hot Topic is doing New Japan stuff.
I'm... vaguely impressed by it because they have such a like working relationship with WWE. Because like it's the only place outside of
Sears, isn't it?
No,
there's a Kmart. Which one has the WWE lion?
Kmart did, but it wasn't like the official. Like you can go to Hot Topic right now if they have your size, which in Kate they usually don't. Like you can go in and get you can go get like a Hardy's Boy shirt or like a Lesnar shirt or you can get one of the big name shirts. It's like the only place outside of WWEshop.com that you can find these shirts or at live events.
You know who used to carry WWE shirts?
Stephen Barry's. But again, they weren't the official shirts.
It's the same as like Walmart.
They
also
were the cheapest thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those were so cheap.
So it's really cool, like, because, I mean, I picked up my Bullet Club shirt because originally, which is, it's cool, and I think we've covered it a few times, but, like, it was, like, these 120 stores get the Bullet Club variations, so, like, Rhodes, Omega, and Bucks.
Right.
And then every Hot Topic gets a Bullet Club shirt, the basic one.
Right.
They sold out, like, everywhere. Like, they sold through so quick that they're like, all right, so Pro Wrestling Tees is going to stock every Hot Topic with every Hot or Bullet Club shirt on the 17th of July. So if you're in the area or you need that those shirts, go to Hot Topic on the 17th, apparently, because that was the date that Pro Wrestling Tees said. But yeah, no, and it's super cool that, that now that that is getting so much traction that they're like, all right, we're just going to start giving you a lot of New Japan stuff, because what it's doing is it's giving more, like, the conscious or the social awareness of it is building, which is just putting more eyes on New Japan, which just makes New Japan even more of a an alternative to WWE.
Would you say that New Japan Pro Wrestling right now is a hot topic?
You are the worst. I was really hoping you were going to be like, do you think that they're the number two in the world company in the world? And we were going to have that conversation, but you went to
New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Yeah.
I think it is.
My only concern with it is they're kind of jumping the gun here, because as much as I love the Los Ingobernables and Hangman Page, the reason the Bullet Club shirt sold out is because it's Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and the Bullet Club, mm-hmm. which are unarguably the biggest thing in independent wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hangman Page, I love Hangman Page.
Yeah.
Depending on what the shirt looks like, I might be getting a Hangman Page shirt. But, and same with LIJ, like, that's...
You don't think it's going to be as a hot topic
that's,
as
this? That's more of the niche, like, right. you know, big fan. Like, I would like one, but I don't know if they're going to sell as well as Young Bucks merch, because nothing sells as well as Young Bucks merch.
Right. I get what you're
so
saying.
Completely. I'm interested to see how those do.
You think they're just picking maybe more obscure people and the shirts won't sell as well?
Right. No, they're definitely picking the next, like, top tier people that aren't Japanese.
Yeah, they're not going, like, down, like, down the card.
But I mean, like, for most American wrestling fans, like you said, most American wrestling fans know the Bullet Club.
But that one step down is a pretty big step.
Yeah,
down.
No, it's right. like, it's a big gap in there. But, like, I mean, good news is if they don't sell through, Asa and I can get a Hangman Page shirt during the Hot Mess clearance for $5.
Eyes on you, buddy. All right, we only got we technically have 10 minutes left. We're going to go over, obviously, so I apologize. I don't have a lot to say about Balls of Fire, because have you guys watched it yet?
It was a good pay-per-view.
I watched some of it, but nothing super stood out that I needed to see. Like, the only segments that I watched were the main event and the Cass Enzo.
So Allie and I did watch it. Well, mm-hmm. I watched it. I don't know if she watched it.
I watched it. I was also working on things.
She watched it the same way she watched Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the background. I watched it, and I can give you a quick review of it. It was much better than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
The Alexa Bliss Sasha Banks match was really good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Probably the best match they've ever had together by far. And it was just a good match. And I still that part where, and I've said it before, Alexa Bliss where she did the fake arm,
she dislocates her elbow.
That is one of the best spots in wrestling. I love it. I'd never seen it before. So I looked at Allie and I was like, oh my God, look.
She's done it like three times before.
I thought it was real. Mm-hmm. I thought it was real. They got me. And then when she hit her, I was like, you magnificent bastard. I went online and I typed it all up. The pay-per-view was good. Go watch it if you can. The Hardy Boys match was really good. They're really, really working towards, and you can tell that they may have had a deal with Global Force Wrestling in place. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to talk about that very much. There's a whole thing going on right now. We'll talk about more next week.
I mean, well, on Monday Night Raw.
We need to wait to see the smoke clear.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw, Jeff said, he's like, oh, you may think we're done. You may think that we're obsolete.
No, he flat out said, a lot of people are thinking maybe we should just fade away and classify ourselves as obsolete, which was his entrance song.
Right.
Under Brother Nero.
And Matt Hardy said maybe we're broken.
Mm-hmm.
And even the interviews that they did on the pay-per-view and the way they wrestled there was so much more related to the broken gimmick. You could tell like they were building up for it.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt.
And then they lost to Gallows and Anderson.
They did.
That's how far they've fallen.
And then they got beat up by the Revival.
Yep.
So yeah, it was a rough night for the Hardys. But you could tell they're building towards that broken thing. But now they might not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see.
But that was a great 30-minute match. It was really, really good. I was a big fan of that. And then the main event... We'll skip over the rest of the stuff, but the main event with Lesnar and Samoa Joe, it's both exactly what I feared and what I'd hoped at the same time. Joe was incredible.
Yep.
He was vicious and violent. Lesnar started out the same way. Like, he was throwing knee strikes. It looked like a legitimate fight.
And Lesnar sold for him really well.
He did.
I was impressed by that.
And then it went into Suplex City. Mm-hmm. The last part of the match, he did, I think, like 8 suplexes in a row, the same German suplex. Mm-hmm. I checked out at that point. I was like, here we go.
The finish was neat, but I mean, I don't like the fact that it was only one F5 because everybody's kicked out of the F5 once.
We talked about this and in the group chat with Hunter and Cody and Tanner and Jesse and everybody. We have been conditioned so much to believe that in a main event on a pay-per-view especially, one finisher is not enough.
Especially considering that Lesnar got out of at least 2 Kukina clutches.
That was starting to feel like a rest hold at a certain point.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Although I think Lesnar sells it the best.
The way
his face gets
because
so
he can just
red.
He's part chameleon, apparently.
He just like holds his breath for a second. Purple?
But yeah, we are conditioned to believe that. So whenever we saw the one F5, but like Hunter said, a finisher is called a finisher for a reason. And if that's the trend they're going back to, A+,
because
it needs to be that trend.
But we know they're not.
We know they're not, but I hate the multiple finisher thing. Mm-hmm. Like when you have to hit like 4 finishers in a damn row. Mm-hmm. Or I remember there was an Austin Rock match. I don't remember what WrestleMania was. Where they
It was 17, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
The one where they hit like 7 finishers and
they
hit
each other's finisher.
Yeah.
Oh, that was 19.
So frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like it's a finisher for a damn reason.
And I completely understand that and I understand that thing. But whenever our precedent is it's not that, but then somebody gets put away with one of them.
Yeah, it's
noticeable. It makes that person look weak.
It's the same thing with Zack Ryder going when he wrestled John Cena for the U.S. title during the Open Challenge. 1AA.
Yeah, like...
Which no one had... Everyone else had kicked out of one. Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, well, it's a finisher for a reason. Yeah, but then and Toe makes that person that took the one finisher look weak. Yeah, he took 8 German suplexes, but I'm pretty sure Dean Ambrose kicked out of more than one F5.
There needs to be consistency.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing missing.
And there's just not.
Is there's no consistency. Yeah, absolutely. But if you get a chance, go see the pay-per-view. It was good.
And I like the Enzo promo before Big Cass is probably the best thing he's done in a really long time.
It went a little long. I legitimately... Mm-hmm. I left. I went to the kitchen to do something. I like, made a sandwich. I may have cooked a cake. I don't know. And when I came out, Enzo was still talking. And I remember saying to Allie and Lindsay, I'm like, is he still talking? What is he talking about? And then the match started right after that. So I missed it.
That's why Heath Slater and Curt Hawkins got cut short.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, damn, we don't have time to talk about that. Was it a double heel? Was it a double turn? The answer is no. Because Roman Reigns will not turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go, people. This is John Cena all over again. Someone asked me, like, but the way he looked at the mirror, like he was thinking to himself, like, yeah, maybe, but you're giving them way more credit than they deserve. Yeah.
Oh, I will say just out of that really quick, though, Braun Strowman looked awesome coming out of that.
Braun Strowman looked like a beast. Yeah. Roman Reigns looked like a guy that
could. Leave me alone.
And Roman Reigns looked like a guy that can't get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He almost killed him.
Yeah. All right. We got to, however long you guys want to do it, I have nothing to do with this next segment, so I'm going to head out.
I mean, it won't be that long.
You had a busy weekend.
Yes.
The reason you didn't get to see Great Balls of Fire live was because you were at Stride on Saturday, and then you were at Glory Pro on Sunday.
Yes.
So please tell us about your weekend.
Start with Stride. Always a fun show. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
It's just fun. We saw.
They're good people.
I'm really bummed that Red Daniels isn't going to be at the next show. Because he's on the lam, because he tried to kill a guy.
Who did he try to kill?
His name was Brad Crawford.
Was is the operative word because he did die.
Who was one? He's one of the Stride trainees, the Illinois Outlaw.
Who died because Red killed him?
No, Red almost did, but Chris Hargis made the save. Which that's a feud I'm excited for.
Yeah, I heard he was in the ICU. It may not have went well.
So we're sending our best wishes out to the Illinois Outlaw.
Yeah, sorry, Brad. With that, I mean. Red was looking more and more vicious. There was really, I mean, the whole card, and like we say at every Stride show, but like it was just a really good card. We had Dexter lost, which was fun.
But did he lose? Because I heard we finally found out who his benefactor is.
Yeah,
we
did. Lost, yeah, he lost twice.
Dexter lost to, was it Cash?
Yep.
Yeah. Dexter lost to Cash Borden because, of course, he did, because it's Cash Borden.
Yeah.
He's scary. He lost his mouth guard. In the middle of the match, too. That was
We were trying gross. To figure out who was going to pick it up. Because Lane, any time there was something in the ring and Lane had to kick out, he threw it at us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thought he hit us with
Dexter,
red shirts.
I had Dexter Roswell's
hand sanitizer.
Oh, no, but Dexter threw that at me. That wasn't Lane.
Yeah, that's right. Dexter doesn't like us.
I wonder why.
I wonder if it's because we've...
No, he doesn't like you. He likes
him.
Asa.
No, he doesn't. Not after this.
He doesn't like you guys. He likes me and Allie.
Not after this last show.
I don't think he likes anybody.
He likes me because I, you know, I feel like maybe he should make Stride great again.
That's it's already great.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, he can try. But
I mean, you got to start winning some matches, son.
Well, he and Ace Hawkins are going to make CCW great again. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, we can. Because who are they wrestling?
Roscoe Eat Lisa.
Some guys. I don't know.
No, stop it. but yeah, so Cash beat Dexter. They try to do the 3-on-1 beat down because DR party. Sam, the general manager, brought out El Magnifico, Jose Magnifico, and Chris Hargis to take on Nate Bragg and your favorite, Brian Richards.
I don't like him.
He cheated to win, don't worry. It's like the first one they've had in like months.
They didn't win, though.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, because Red.
Yeah, so
Red came out and, for the distraction.
You know, Dexter, I'm going to speak to you personally. If you want a guy who's big and strong and entertaining, who doesn't like to wear sleeves, I'm free most evenings, except Tuesday through Thursday, then also usually Saturday and Sunday. But on Mondays and Fridays, if you need a guy, talk to me.
And Dexter, I'm going to talk to you personally right now. Boo. Boo. I hear he gets upset if I don't do it.
He's saying Boo Earns.
No. We also got to see Tony Flood versus Eugene Drip, which Eugene Drip immediately started with like some intensity that we weren't used to seeing. So that was cool to see.
I think Tony Flood just brings out the natural anger in people.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
But it's entertaining. He also didn't have the belt with him because apparently Eugene somehow covered it in snot. So he had to send it off to get cleaned. Which is just disrespectful.
You can't see my face. That's an image I didn't need.
The tag team championships were on the line. Maximum Overdrive. The Neon Nightmares.
That's an image I need.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you do.
They retained over Heath Hatton and Jay Spade.
And Axe, I know you're listening to me. I know you've listened to the show. Don't do a roll-up whenever I know you have the prettiest pile of driver in the business. I was legitimately upset when he didn't do it.
I was fine with it because I don't want to see Heath Hatton or Jay Spade take a pile driver from Axe.
What's Scott Phoenix do? His best.
Eye candy.
I was about to say his hair.
Yeah. What did he do? God, that's great.
And then there was the rumble for the number one contendership at an upcoming show, which was just nuts.
Thanks, Mathis. Like,
right? People were just everywhere. But it came down to Hatton and Spade, who had words of their own after the loss to Maximum Overdrive.
Because Axe took out Heath and Jay went for a tag and Heath wasn't there.
I mean, this has been building for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have not been on the same page for months.
No.
And Heath needs to stop being so cocky. Because Heath keeps saying little boy, and I've been going to like the last four shows. The last couple of shows, you got laid out by a super kick from Jay. Maybe take him seriously.
Okay, so Heath Hatton, if you're listening, that was Dalton Anthony.
Yep.
I'm just trying.
He's the one in the douchey hat.
No, it's always Star Wars. He likes my hats. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, you bring a Star Wars hat just for him.
You better bring a whole Star Wars outfit next time. You better be Han Solo.
You're going to be buying a shirt.
I'm fine with that.
But yeah, so their stare down and interactions were pretty intense. So during the Rumble, though, Roger Mathis came out and circled the ring and then planted his chair right next to us.
I saw the pictures.
So he was very close. And then
I heard it smelled horrible.
As Heath and Jay were struggling against the ropes, Roger leans up and just pulls down the top rope. Both of them get eliminated. And it was way prettier than when they did it at the Rumble, at the Royal Rumble.
At the Battle Royal. Where it was Harper and Styles. And like, who fell first? Harper?
I don't know. We only have this one camera angle where the ring's in the way. This one looked legit.
Because they both really hit at the same time.
So at the next show in August, it's going to be Hatton versus Jay Spade for number one contendership.
And I think it's going to be like,
finally, they can settle their differences.
Mm-hmm.
Like men. Like friends.
And Jay and I was very surprised to see Jay go after Hatton afterwards.
Yeah, because
it didn't end well because he hit two spears on him.
Yeah.
So, but
and he looked a little broken.
Cooler heads need to prevail. We're all friends here.
Except Dexter. No one's friends with Dexter.
No, yeah, no. He doesn't have friends. And then the main event was amazing. Billy and Roger, which Lane using very liberal use of the referee's discretion, which I'm glad he did. Because Billy threw Roger into the first, second, third, and fourth row of chairs.
I saw that. That was nasty.
Because Lee was actually filming it.
Yeah.
So I think it's I think that's what it is on Facebook.
I saw Lee's video. Yeah.
Lee. So I'm pretty sure it's on Stride's page. I know it's on Lee's page. So I think Billy and Roger both probably shared it. That was amazing. Just yeah. So they threw a bunch of chairs, knocking over a merch table, which tends to be Billy's MO. It looks like
Billy.
Billy threw some of the hot nacho cheese from concession into Roger's face.
Yep.
Which I imagine Roger then licked it off cartoon style and just went.
What was in his beard?
Well, like, and this was like a much darker version of Billy than we've seen at Stride, because the match started and he immediately went after Roger's leg.
Yeah, first
took him down and just immediately just starts wailing on the knee.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. We know Billy has a vicious side, obviously from the cape, and you're going up against Roger Mathis. You got to be vicious. You cannot give him a moment to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely understand Billy's logic there. That's smart on him.
And so that match was just so good. Like for whenever they were in the store, like just and them talking about ringside, like when we go to dinner with them and like just talk to them outside of here. Yep. Just them talking about like ring psychology and how important it is to them definitely shows when you put them together. So that was awesome. And the finish was great. Billy coming off the second rope and eating a Kinshasa from Mathis midair.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen that one.
It was a good match.
I want a rematch. The next main event we know is Cash Borden versus Roger Mathis.
Yup.
Which that's another match that I'm just like, yeah.
Well, all right. So in the Rumble, we're missing this thing where like Dalton Diamond had a pin and it fell in the ring. Oh, so yeah. Cash took it, threw it at Mathis, blew him a kiss and said, that one's for you.
Yep. And at that moment, I look over at Dalton and very quietly, because Mathis was near, whispered, oh, I want that match.
And then I said, shut up, Ace, so he can hear us. Because he's scary. Because that's all the man does. Like, he says it's preparation, but Mathis only knows scary. Like, he has sleep and scary. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the two phases that guy knows. And I don't like it.
But that wasn't your only wrestling of the weekend.
No. Oh, yeah.
You also went to Glory Pro. Yes. Dalton's wearing his Glory Pro t-shirt right now.
It's because I wore Bessie's in the World yesterday, and I feel like it's socially unacceptable to wear the same shirt twice in, like, a row. I washed it.
I mean, kind of. Glory Pro was a lot of fun.
I wear this vest every day.
That was the...
That's going to be Besties in the World is now my new favorite shirt.
As Jason put it, the first like super indie show.
Because
on the drive up there, it was really kind of like, apparently people were surprised that he would go to Glory Pro. Because I guess the people who think that like, that's
not
real.
Yeah, because people were talking to him about it.
The super cards aren't really real independent wrestling type deal.
Yeah, and they were also just like, why would you go support something that's not yours? Like, and then Jason's very much against that. He's just like, yeah, no, you won't see any promoters from St. Louis, so like we wouldn't see like the NWL people. But Jason just really loves wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, that's silly to not go to another.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
So I was really happy to go with him and Big Lee.
Yeah.
So it was the four of us in a car. But so,
oh, I didn't know you guys actually drove up together.
Yeah,
Saturday night at Stride, I talked to Big Lee if he was going, because I figured he would be. And he said Jason talked about it, so I messaged Jason, and I owed him one for unprofessional wrestling, so I just drove us all up.
Right.
Mm. But so that show was a lot of fun. It's night and day between Stride and CCW and Glory Pro. Because Stride and CCW, we are conditioned that there is a reason behind every match, and that reason will carry over to the next show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't have to know... You don't have to, like, have gone to every show so far to be able to follow what's going on. Because both CCW and Stride both do a really good job of making their characters' goals...
Broadway.
Yep. Of making their goals and objectives, like, known at every show. You know Tony Flood is the legacy champion, and he's gonna be in your face, he's gonna be Smash Mouth, he's gonna do what it takes to retain that title.
Right.
You know that Billy is gonna come out with Sarah and just steal the hearts from everybody at Stride. And same thing with like CCW.
Yeah.
Glory Pro just
except the steal the hearts.
That's when they steal the souls.
That's when they steal the thunder.
Whereas Glory Pro was just like, hey, there's this guy who's really good at wrestling, there's this guy that's really good at wrestling. Watch. So it's like just, hey, let's play with action figures.
It's like a dream matchup type thing.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
There was some story stuff. Like, we got to see Baracus wasn't in a match, but his manager came out with him and cut a promo challenging the Glory Pro champion.
Myron Reed?
Yep. Yeah.
And Myron Reed quickly attacked him, to which then AR Fox quickly attacked him.
Yeah.
And that's what started that match. And there was so many cool spots. Like, just that six man. We saw KLD, who was just a monster. If you don't know who that is, please look him up after the show.
He was at a CCW show.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Damone is very heavily lobbying, because I guess he's got a death wish. I guess he wants to go home.
He's like, I want to go more north of Purgatory.
He wants to finish the ride.
So he's trying to get KLD.
But like, we won't rest at Podzilla 1985. We won't rest until we get Damone versus KLD in a CCW ring.
Mainly because it gets us out of the tag team match that you want us to have with them.
That's at the next show. You guys are fighting Damone.
But like, there was a six-man match, and there were so many great moments where I was the guy, and I'm upset that I didn't catch names as well.
I have them.
Who was the Ben Affleck guy?
I think that was Alex Daniels.
If it was Alex,
it was either Alex Daniels or Jake Parnell.
It was Alex Daniels, because Jake Parnell
was
the
Warhorse. Yeah. That was Warhorse.
Alex Daniels?
Yeah.
Every time he attacked somebody, yelled a Ben Affleck movie. He had four Ben Affleck shirts on.
And like, it said real Ben Affleck on his trunks.
Yeah.
He also...
Well, that is the strangest gimmick I've heard in wrestling.
But I loved it.
But we didn't know that was his gimmick, because the first time he did it, he attacked someone from behind and yelled Pearl Harbor before he did it.
And I was like, oh, that's not good. But then he yelled like Chasing Amy before he rushed at somebody in Geely. And I was like, oh, okay, good. That's his shtick. And then I was sitting next to like Jason, and I was like, oh, Ben Affleck was in Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to do that, but like, that match was insane.
We had an extra bonus pre-match. It was the Pride versus, I don't know if that's what they were called in Glory Pro, but the Roman Dynasty was there.
Asa, who was their manager?
Kurt Stallion beat Martin Stone, who's better known as Danny Burch.
Yes, don't show me that match. Yeah.
That was really cool. Disappointment of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton's wearing his comic book ESPY shirt. I'm wearing my Funko Pop ESPY shirt. ESPY comes out. He looks real angry. Crowd doesn't like him. One of the few people that actually got like real boos, because I guess they really love this Sean Orleans guy.
Whose gimmick is the dad bod?
ESPY charges at him. Orleans moves. He eats the turnbuckle. Orleans does the Three Stooges style, like,
roll up.
Not even a roll up. Like, he trips him.
Like, he.
And then turns that into a roll up for an instant three count.
On ESPY!
On which, Brandon ESPY Espinoza.
To which Jason Wells has the line of the day being like, oh man, it would really suck to have an ESPY shirt on. Because it was
he's
Asa.
By people yeah, with he's, ESPY shirts
because
on.
It was Asa, Jason, me. And it was just like, we were like, yup. Because that was the shortest ESPY match I think that's ever happened.
Yeah. Zima Ion was supposed to be wrestling, but apparently he's injured. Although he is going to be joining Glory Pro, like, as a regular.
And that's good, because the last thing I heard about DJZ, you remember, he hurt himself really bad, and they were taking him to the hospital in a video he posted, and it sounded
in Mexico.
Yeah, sounded bad. So I'm glad to hear that he's good.
Yeah. So Everett Connors beat Zima Ion's replacement, Stephen Wolf. Who
no relation to Alexander.
I really liked him.
Yeah,
I thought that Stephen Wolf dude was really cool.
Yeah.
And then Alex Daniels, Hakeem Zayn, Jake Parnell, Luis Linden, Gringo Loco, and KLD had that six-man match. KLD won it. KLD also did a dive.
I saw that dive. That was a scary dive.
Because we all kind of had the same joke thought, because they did the thing where one person dives out, another person dives out, and we're like, oh, well, it's KLD's turn. And then he did it, though.
Is it one of those things that you wish for something and then you get it and you go, I wish I hadn't wished
for it? No, I very much wished for it.
But he took out the first three rows, didn't he? Like, he eliminated
the shockwave
them.
Did.
Yeah.
It was it was the rumble.
And that he felt that in limbo.
One of my favorite people from the entire Glory Pro show, who I'd never heard of before, but I'm so glad I went. Gary J lost to a guy named Jake something.
No, Asa, you're getting it wrong.
Yeah. It's Jake something is his name.
What's his last name?
Something. He's billed from somewhere. And he's like, if Elias Sampson, like you said it yesterday, was the midway point. He's the midway point between Elias Sampson and Ryback.
In an Animorph.
In an Animorph situation.
It would be like in page 50.
Yeah.
No, it's the cover.
It's the cover, you idiot.
It's the cover where it shows, like, here's the animal, here's the person. And then they're slowly morphing into the animal.
Yeah, but if you also flip through the pages of the book, it does a flip book of like it going from one to the other, so he'd be like page 50.
We don't have time for this.
That's the most convoluted way. Argument. It's so much easier to just say the middle.
Don't have time for this.
Yeah, so Jake something was really cool. He's actually, the next Glory Pro show is going to be in a triple threat match between KLD and Jeff Cobb.
And who?
And Jake something. I just like saying it.
And he's so great at just being like, well, because that's his thing. Is it's like Marco, whenever he's like, Marco. And you know it's just Marco, but he does, what's my name?
Something.
Yeah, it's great.
Probably my favorite match of the night was Cody retains the ROH championship against Michael Elgin. Michael Elgin comes out in a Cody Sucks Eggs shirt. Throwback to Terry with the Dusty Sucks Eggs.
Yeah.
That was just a lot of fun. Like, that was just a good match.
And not only that, but you guys got to meet Cody Rhodes. You got to talk to Cody Rhodes.
I did.
He pulled your hair.
He did.
And I know Cody Rhodes is a favorite of yours, so I mean, that had to be super cool.
That's
like when I didn't meet Hulk Hogan.
I didn't. Paco Gonzalez defeated Danny Adams.
And then KLD killed
But then
Paco.
KLD came out and murdered him with a chain. Like, did the whole, he's being lifted up off of the ground from the outside, while KLD was in the inside, pulling up on a chain. Yeah.
KLD's scary. Damone, get away.
If Cody versus Elgin was the best match of the night, maybe my favorite match of the night, Davey Vega match Matt Fitchett, the besties in the world, retained the United Glory Pro Tag Team Championships against the boys from Jollyville.
And Jesus Christ, this match was awesome. It's like, and I have a really hard time. Like, I will have to buy the DVD to watch it to figure out which one was my favorite, but I really, really liked that tag team match because it was really freaking good.
What was the one's name? He got the tag and he just comes in like Steve Austin always talks about on his show, like people need a mean streak in them. This dude had a mean streak, like even a scoop slam just felt like
it was the one that pounced Vega out of the ring.
Yeah, that was a scary move.
Many. So Matt Fitchett has this moonsault kick. Where it's not a Pele, because a Pele involves one leg going over another and hitting the kick. Mm-hmm. He does a moonsault kick where it's just a flat moonsault and both feet hit his head at the same time. Like, he doesn't like scissor his legs around at all. He did it once in the ring, and they did it another time off the apron. Like, both dudes were on the apron, he does that. It was just, there were so many great moves in it.
The scariest spot of the night, though, was, I can't remember, it was the other one from the boys from Jollyville, and I feel bad because I didn't catch their individual names.
Yeah.
But he goes on the top turnbuckle, yells cannonball, jumps up real high, puts his body into the cannonball position, kind of rotates on his side, and just looks like full force right on Davey Vega's chest. Like, it's not the coup de grace where, you can throw your weight back and, like, you know, fall backwards immediately. Like, I don't see how it was done, but it was awesome looking.
Yeah.
Then we got to see Mara Fuji beat Dijak.
God, that match was gross.
Dijak was a lot bigger than I was expecting. Like, I knew he was, like, a legit 7-footer, but I don't know why that didn't click with me until he came out to the ring, and I was like, oh, you're a mountain. He real big. Also, before that match started, Mara Fuji put a tweet where he was like, I want to cut his chest with chops. And so the follow-up was Dijak, like, shaving his chest and just smiling at the camera.
And let's just say, Mara Fuji tried his best.
He did.
Did it work?
No, I mean, there wasn't blood, but, like, I think four more there would have been.
But it was close.
Yeah, it was all... Because, like, all right, so if anybody that's listened to the show knows that chops are probably my least favorite thing in wrestling.
Why?
Because they legitimately hurt. Like, it's the Bret Hart school of thought that chops are the exact opposite of what professional wrestling is. Because it's not supposed to hurt, but looks like it hurts. Chops don't look like they hurt as bad as a stunner, but they hurt way more. And, like, that's all the Stone Stallion match was. And that Mara Fuji Dijak match was, there was other moves, get me wrong, but.
And that Birch Stallion match was also, like, chops and, like, hey, let's try to hit each other as hard as humanly possible. Let's throw in some headbutts, too.
I didn't like the headbutts, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I also didn't like that the one dude took two German suplexes in a row and got right back up both times like it didn't hurt.
Well,
I don't like that at all.
I will never ask you to go to Glory Pro. Because that's pretty much what Glory Pro is. Because I mean,
we kind of talked about it on the way back, but it's kind of like I understand more of what that Rip Rogers Orton tweet thing was,
right?
Because in my head, seeing what they're saying just made me think of like I thought that was like them taking shots at someone like Austin Lane, who does that high flying stuff, like who has that high flying style. But what's great about Austin Lane and CCW is we get an Austin Lane and like a Marco stunt, but then we also have a Roger Mathis and a Brandon Barbwire and a Billy Hill. Like, and just, there's so many different styles. Whereas Glory Pro was like every match was a spot fest. I loved Glory Pro. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But it also very much made me appreciate CCW and Stride and like those. So it's one of those things where it's like, yes, there's a lot of different styles of independent wrestling.
Cause the AR Fox Myron rematch, which is the last
one. That was the main event.
Yeah. And that match was the Randy Orton Rip Rogers tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the one, like whenever Jason and I made the RKO bet where like the over under on 10, there was two before that match. And then Jason told me, don't get so cocky because AR Fox will do like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And in fairness, he attempted like 6.
Yeah.
Like, and they weren't just like regular RKOs. And they were reversed.
They were elaborate.
Yeah, they were some elaborate RKOs. And there was like two or three of them in a row. Like, it was insane. And don't get me wrong, it's fun to watch. I was texting Billy Hills about it. It's just like, and we may make Glory Pro a regular thing. Like, mm-hmm. it may become part of our cycle. But I was mentally exhausted after watching it. And don't get me wrong, like, it was great. But it's definitely a different style than what we're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. And it was the very much like, and one of the cool things was like the crowd, like, aside from Espy, Jake something initially, and like one or two other people, and like Baracus, no one was actively booed.
Mm-hmm. Like Jollyville was until halfway through the match.
Yeah, Jollyville was as well. But like everyone got cheered, and I like that so much more than we're going to cheer the faces and boo the heel, or we're going to cheer the heels and boo the faces. We're going to cheer the faces. We're also going to cheer the heels.
Right.
Yeah.
And I there was just something about that.
I feel like that show would be. I used to have this a joke that I would make with my friends where I would kind of applaud, and so I applaud good wrestling, mm-hmm. like whether they're good or bad. I feel like I would bust that out during that show,
mm-hmm.
no matter if they're good or bad. You just applaud because of what they're doing in the ring. What they're doing in the ring is more important than who they are as characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I can see that,
and that's what very much Glory Pro is.
And the other Rip Rogers thing was just the handshake and the hug after every match, because that did happen, except for like maybe 3 of those matches.
Yeah, SP did not hug. No. Once.
No, he was very upset. Glad I did not happen to run into him afterwards.
Glad you didn't have to do that interview.
Right.
Yeah. SP lost in 10 seconds.
How do you feel? Oh, now, why is my spine over there? Why can I see it? Why is no one acknowledging me? Can I just pass through walls now? I didn't used to be able to do this.
Did I?
Yeah. And I will say, too, and I know this will be the last thing. So Glory Pro, the way that their system is set up is it's Mike, because that's Michael Elgin's baby.
Right.
Like, that's his. He has a handful of staff members there, like, taking tickets and stuff. But, it's his. It's not like and it looked like where they were at for this show, it's not like the arena building that also has some staff available.
Right.
I don't think our CCW tends to use it, but I feel like if they needed it, they could.
Yeah. Well, like, the maintenance workers and stuff like that are always there. Yeah.
But so apparently the way they do it is you can buy first and second row tickets are $20. General admission is $12.
Mm-hmm.
They had a legitimate sellout. Like, it was like 600 people. They had to turn people away at the
door. It was standing room only. That's what Shannon was alluding to. Yeah, there was people standing.
It was legitimately just people. Caleb Carter that we see at CCW all the time was legitimately like one of the people who had to stand because there just weren't seats. Part of that, though, is when you get there early, they let the first and second row people in first so they can be sure to get a seat, because unlike CCW, the seats aren't numbered at all.
It's like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it's literally just go find a seat. You paid for first row, find a first row seat. After the
Stride.
Yeah, pretty much. But even there, like the seats,
Well, every ticket's $10 unless you're a kid. This was they paid for a front row
seat. But also
seat.
Even like front row, if you get, if you have a front row seat that you're supposed to be held for you, they have, your name on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So whereas Glory Pro was just kind of people were going and sitting. Michael Elgin took the microphone after his Cody Rhodes match and said, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed that there are people who aren't being able to sit in their first or second row seats that they paid money for because other people are there. Which, if you're one of those people, you're garbage.
The worst.
Like you are the
worst. Did he say that?
No, this is what we are saying.
Okay.
That
okay.
If you did not pay for a front row seat and you sat in the front row while someone who actually did had to sit somewhere else or even might have had to stand, GTFO. That's you're
not a wrestling fan.
No, you're a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Apparently like 9 out of 10 people that it affected were cool and plan on coming back, but it's an issue that he shouldn't have had to deal with. Yeah. So that's kind of that was the one like real downside to that trip was knowing that
Elgin,
that people would do that. And Elgin takes this so seriously. And, like, he did a YouTube video. He's gone on Twitter, like, Facebook. Like, he's made so many. And after the show ended, he even said, like, hey, if you are one of the people who were affected, Michael Elgin will be up front. Please go talk to him.
They said, like,
he will make it right.
And so, he did, too, from, like, the video. He said, like, he was like, I gave refunds to the people that wanted them. Fortunately, mm-hmm. Or he didn't say fortunately. He said, it made me kind of frustrated because some people weren't taking the refund.
Right.
But, I mean, it's good that he cares that much because, like, a big name can run a show and then just not care at all.
Yeah.
Elgin very much cares.
It's super disrespectful, like you said, of the mm-hmm. fans that if you go to these shows, like, you're going to these shows to support these people. And to do that, you're not supporting these people. You're taking advantage of them at that point.
Right.
Yeah. And you should be ashamed of yourself. You really should.
Yeah.
So, shame on you.
Shame.
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 Wrap it up there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. We have got to go because we now have to record Cape Championship Wrestling Episode 6.
Woo! Yes.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic episode with the rematch between Hollis and Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to talk about that. If you're wondering where CCW was tonight, well, it's tomorrow.
Yes.
Something happened. There was a snafu. We don't know for sure. But CCW episode five, which had the amazing Baracus ESPY match, mm-hmm. is actually going to be on Thursday at 6 p.m.
Also, LA Hustlers and KC's Finest.
Yes. Our friends Phoenix and Aaron.
Yep.
And the Hustlers who are not friends of ours. But we enjoy them just the same. So make sure you guys check that out. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. It's going to be a lot of fun. Probably not.
Also, just going
to.
I'm just going to. After we didn't do Mr. 100 Five Star Man Presents last night.
You're going to plug it right now?
Because we're going to go ahead and plug it now. We made a Facebook post on Podzilla 1980. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Go over there. Give us a like.
Yes.
Next week, we are going to do a Bond episode.
Yes.
James Bond. Daniel Craig was named, or it looks like he's confirmed to be for Bond 25.
I'll say watch your mouth. Because I feel like you were going to say he was named the best Bond. And
no.
I was going to get angry.
By me, yes. But so. So we're doing a Bond extravaganza. Favorite movies, favorite Bonds, favorite villains, gadgets, cars, whatever.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we want to know what yours are. So there's a post on Facebook. There will be another one closer to next week. But we want to hear from you. We'll talk about it on the show.
Absolutely.
That's going to be fun.
Because Ace and I are going to go at it. This is the one.
This is the fight. This could be.
This is the fight.
Allie, this is the last PWU ever.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Pretty much. And it's all over James freaking Bond.
Yep.
Also, Dalton and I were talking about doing a Saturday Night Live show in the future, which
I would love
to do. That sounds exciting. But anyway, tomorrow's Podzilla After Dark. It should be fun. And then we'll be back on Sunday with Nerd Up, which we got some exciting Nerd Up news today. I can't tell you what it is right now.
Yep.
It may fall through. But if it doesn't fall through, this is huge. So taste that morsel and dream. We'll see you guys later. Have a great night. And we'll see you tomorrow for Podzilla After Dark.